Morning and greetings to all in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Indeed, good to be in the presence of the Lord and to know the unchanging God who is always the same, yesterday, today and forever. Whether it may be any Lord's Day we come, He remains the same. We may change, but He will never change. It was a good thought this morning to start off with. And this morning, please turn to 1 Kings. Chapter 17, book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, and we'll look at, just read out a few verses, a promise from God for an unnamed woman in Zarephath. Verse 13 and 14 says, For Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Verse 14, For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Let's pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank Thee and praise Thee for giving us this beautiful morning to come to worship the living God. Father, as we look at the ancient word written thousands of years ago, Father, You're a good, same God, Lord, who has given this word for generations to come. That we may meditate upon it, and learn of it. We pray, Lord, for Your mercy upon Thy servant. And we pray for every soul that heareth that word, that You may bless the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we've been looking at a few prophets in the past few months, just coming at this particular portion, we were looking at, Brother reminded us, one portion from Jeroboam. You know, at times where people changed, the king changed this morning. And as we come to Elijah, the prophet, you know, many of us have heard of a prophet named Elijah. One of the powerful prophets, was a committed prophet. And his introduction starts in 1 Kings chapter 17. As you read the verse 1, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The meaning of Elijah means, Jehovah is my Lord. Yahweh is my Lord. It's very important to remember this name, the meaning of name. Because when we look at the times of Elijah, when he gave this judgment to King Ahab. Ahab was just about seventh king after Jeroboam, as we just heard this morning. When you start reading 1 Kings, you see David's death. Then you read about Solomon. In times of David, Israel was a united nation. They were united. All the 12 tribes lived together, they had one king. But after Solomon's death, after Solomon's rule, Rehoboam was his son. He lost confidence, he was a wicked king. And they became two kingdoms in Israel. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So the northern kingdom, as you see, a bit of a help on this map, as you know, there's many places. Samaria became the capital of the northern kingdom. And there at King Ahab was ruling at this time, and we all know King Asa was a good king. He was in the king of Judah at the southern kingdom. And you look at Elijah's introduction here. He lived at a very difficult time, a very challenging time. Just a bit of introduction about King Ahab. If you just turn to chapter 16 and verse 30. Of just page over, you see, And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk of sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up the altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did provoke the Lord, God of Israel, to anger, then all the kings of Israel that befall him. If you just take a bit of few things in this verse, Ahab did more than evil than any other kings. It was like as if sin was nothing for him. His morality had fallen. Whom did he marry? He married Zarephath, as you just see up north, Sidon. That is Lebanon these days. Her name was Jezebel. If you read the character of Jezebel, she was a woman. She hated God's people. She was a worshiper of Baal. Baal is a Canaanite god. We read a little bit about Jeroboam, which brother reminded it. That kingdom which God gave, just we're talking about a few hundred years ago, 150 years from King David. We're looking at the times about 875 BC when we're looking at this portion of Elijah. Just about 150 years from King David, from that glorious time. That time where God had bought temple, the vision, people united who worship God. But now you're looking at a place filled with idols. A place filled with idols. And Jezebel is killing the prophets of God. Many prophets are killed. That probably brings us a picture of many countries like this. And one of the countries which we all come from, India. Land filled with idols. Land filled with persecution. Land filled with the name of God, the living God, has been removed. Not only India, even if you look at Western countries, even Australia these days, even UK, as we saw just a clip, where even you can't even preach that a marriage is between a man and a woman. This is the state of a human morality, the spirituality, where it's going dark world, dark times. As you read the very first verse, Elijah went to King Ahab. There's many things we can learn from a prophet. We do not know exactly how old he was. So this is the beginning of his ministry. You see the boldness. You see one thing, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, verse 2. And you see in verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. He was a man who could hear the voice of God, the words of God. He's a man who lived the word of God. As you read about Elijah's life, he was a committed man. But when you read when you read James chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, Elijah was just a man. Elijah was just a man who had temptations and passions like us. But when he prayed, the rain stopped. Do you know how long the rain stopped? 3.5 years. 3.5 years, no rain, until he prayed. But we are looking at the beginning of this judgment. In the land of Israel, the rain stopped. We all experienced in 2020, a little bit, just few months, we were all worried. We couldn't water our plants we had some restrictions. And sad thing, when there's no rain, there is famine. And when there's no rain, there's no famine. You saw all the animals dying without food. You saw on television. We only had a glimpse, few months, but God was gracious. He rained again. We always grumble about rain, don't we? Thank God for the rain. But here you see that judgment hit the whole land. When there's a land, there's no rain. There's no famine, all parts of the land. But when you look at the person, the man of God who spoke, Elijah, even he is in that land. Even he needs the food. He needs to be fed. And as you read from verse 2 of chapter 17, you see, "And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, him saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook I have commanded thee, commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, it is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Just think, imagine living near a small lake. You know, God spoke to Elijah to go, as you just see, just down. He's from the land of Tishbe, as you see, just on the east. There's Cherith Brook, just a few miles away. He has to go at the brook. Who offered him the food? Raven. It says he bought food, bread and meat. Morning, bread and meat, evening. It's an unclean bird. It's not a very pretty bird, really. It's like a, you know, black, like a crow-looking bird. God did not order a dove to bring the food. God did not order, you know, some human, you know, they come and give the food. A raven. Times like, you know, when God, even in times of Noah, where birds were used to go and come, God couldn't speak to a bird. God can speak to a big fish. God is the creator of heaven and earth. That bird came and gave the food. We do not know how many days, but it will be quite at some time, because he was at the brook until the water was dried. He had water there, and his pets were ravens, you know, spending time. We do not know those precious times, the beginning of Elijah's ministry, the beginning of times, what else happened in this particular times. There's always a great time. The foundation in great people of God, when you look at even Paul, Apostle Paul, who was in Arabia 3 years, we do not know exactly, but the tremendous transformation. This man is going to be used mightily. When you look at Elijah the prophet, Elijah appeared in New Testament as well, in times of Jesus. If you remember, in times when Jesus was at the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Moses and Elijah there. If you look at Revelation in future, there'll be two witnesses in Jerusalem at the end. Many scholars believe that will be Moses and Elijah. A man who spoke to God, who brought fire and rain from God. So there he is. Quite humbling, isn't it? Quite humbling to sit at a brook near a cave, waiting for a bird to come. Every day, even he himself has to wait and trust God that the food will be provided. So God is faithful to his servant. He will provide in an unexpected way when there is a need. So as we look at James 5:17, he was just a man, and he had his own needs. Even he was a great prophet, but he also had his own needs. As we move on from verse 8, I shall read it for you. From verse 8, 1 Kings, it says, "Again the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there, and behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate city, behold, a widow woman was gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel, that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. And he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, that a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress for me and my son, that we may eat and die." This is the word of God. After a few months, after a year, the water has dried at Brook Cherith. And the next destination of Elijah is which place? To Zarephath. Did we hear about Zidon somewhere else? Where did Jezebel came from? She came from? She was a Zidonite. Did you read in 16:31? She was from Zidon. From the same land where this unnamed widow woman lives. That woman who is persecuting the God's people. God is sending Elijah back to the same place. Back to the place where her father is Ethbaal, who is a king, ruling. And it is quite fearful, isn't it? If God asks you to go to a place like Iran today or Iraq today, it is very fearful. But you don't hear any voice from Elijah. But you hear in verse 10, he arose and went. He arose and went. This is what we read many times when we look at great patriarchs, men of God. When God speaks, Abraham, he arose the next morning. Early morning, it says. When God spoke to Paul in a dream, go to Macedonia, it says, he arose in the morning, he packed up. It was not like half a day packing up. It was quick pack up and he left. So that here you see a prophet who waited on the Lord, who depended on God, and who wanted to do the will of God. He arose and went to Zarephath. I was thinking, God has given you a promise. What was God's promise? That this widow woman shall feed you. Verse 9 says, this widow woman shall sustain you, shall provide you. I wonder whether Elijah thought, thank God, God thought about me. You know, I've been living in this brook for a few months. Now I'm going to have a big, rich woman going to provide me a big accommodation. There may be a big room and I'll be looked after well. And hopefully it won't be this bad. And so there is Zarephath. It's a few miles away, by the way. It could have taken a few hours, a day travel. We do not know how he traveled. There he goes. What's the introduction of this unnamed woman? She's gathering the sticks at the gates. It's amazing when God does something, when God has a plan, and God wants to meet that person. As Elijah is walking at the gates, this woman is ready. She doesn't know Elijah is coming. She doesn't know anything about these promises. You see the same thing when Jesus said, go and prepare upper room. A man will carry, as you enter a town, carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Exactly as those two disciples went, it happens. It was the appointed time I received the word of God. It was the appointed time. You were there at that place when God sent the messenger of God. God is a God who has a plan for each one of us. So there you see this woman gathering the sticks. And when you look at her situation, she is very poor. She's poorer than Elijah. She has a young son. We know she's a widow. She's lost her husband. And as you read verse 12, it says that she only had the last meal. That means she had no hope after this meal she will survive with her son. But one of the great things is about her character, right? What did Elijah ask her? You know, when I'm hungry, I just want to have my food. You just don't want to speak to people. But she was so patient, right? So the request was, get me some water. I mean, here is a stranger. She probably don't know whether she knew he was a Jew. But the answer she gives is, as the Lord liveth. As the Lord liveth. That speaks something. We don't know much, but there are a few words. She believed in God. There was something in her heart God had prepared. There's something probably she knew about God, Jehovah God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She probably knew about the people who made wells around. But here she is. As the Lord liveth, I have no cake. And I have a last meal. And so here we see a kind-hearted woman. Very kind and very hospitable woman, right? She would have been she was going to fetch her water in that situation. She's going to get some water. It speaks about her hospitality, kindness, and selfless character. And important is obedience. She was obedient to what God spoke. What was the promise God gave her? The very first word God gave her was in verse 13. He says, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Fear not. Go and do thou as thou hast said. I wonder how comforting that words would have been. Whenever a situation goes terrible in our lives, we fear. Fear grips, anxiety grips. We get worried. We are living in a pandemic. We're looking at our loved ones. We are all worried. Fear grips. The word of God for that woman was, fear not. And do as I have said you. You read in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And verse 10. It says, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 9 says, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief of men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee and help thee. Verse 41, 43 and verse 1 says, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I do not know, brothers and sisters, many times it's only the words of God which has strengthened us, strengthened me, to know that God is with you. God is with you in this trial. God will carry you through. God will provide thee. There were times in Samus' life. We went through tremendous difficult times. And one of the words you see Sam says in Psalm 56 and verse 3 and 4 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Are you afraid this morning of anything? We can learn from the psalmist. When I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. It is good to worship God even at all times. I will worship thee. I will trust thee. There is nobody has been tried, I don't think, like Job in life. Nobody has been had the difficulties, problems, trials, losing their own son, losing business, everything he had. But Job says these words in Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Though he slay me, I will trust in him. So as we come back to 1 Kings chapter 17. And if you're looking at these promises, what God gave her. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Here we see this woman. She doesn't know who this man is. She may not know how much she knows about God, Jehovah God. But what do we read in verse 14? In verse 15, it says, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. The second promise the God gave her is one of the great miracles in anyone's life. It said, For thus saith the Lord, verse 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day of the Lord sendeth rain. What a beautiful hope, what a beautiful promise for this woman who is perishing, his son is dying, and I promise that that barrel of meal, that little oil, will not go, will not stop in your house until the rain comes. And we see that Samaritan woman, when Jesus said, I'll give you the living water, and she went to the town, she believed, and she bought all the town of Samaria, actually. Samaria, as we see the capital there, that town was saved. We see the faith. Faith without works is dead. We look at faith of this woman, an unnamed woman. She goes, and one more request Elijah does. First, do a cake for me. First, do a cake for me, and then do it for yourself. It's a very hard request to ask. But what did God promise Elijah? I will provide from this widow woman. That was a promise for Elijah. And Elijah was bold to ask, first do a cake for me. Elijah knew that this promise God will accomplish, that there will be barrel, the flour will continue, and every day. I wonder, just put yourself, you know, I don't think any of us have this experience having the last meal. But just go, every morning she goes, she takes the jar, and there is a flour. Every morning she takes the oil, there is the oil. Enough for that. It wasn't like she could do a business out of it, you know. But enough for her. God is mindful. God is a God of order. He knows. He never wastes. And it was enough for the day. Similar times, you looked in 40 years in wilderness for the people of God. It was enough food in the morning. It was called manna. And meat with quail in the evening. So God provided for 40 years. He's the same God as we heard yesterday, today and forever. A never changing God. Here we see faith of an unnamed woman, a widow, as we read in Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:1, we see faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Nobody has seen heaven. Nobody has seen Jesus. But you believe all your heart with what promise of God has been given, you act. And this woman responded to the promise. And without faith, we cannot please God. Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 26. Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 26. Verse 25 onwards. But I tell you the of truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months. When great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel, and in times of Elijah, the prophet, none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. As I read this story, it's quite astonishing. Where is Zarephath? It's outside the Commonwealth of Israel. It is in Lebanon. Weren't there many widows in Israel at the time? Weren't there many people who were in need that time? But why God sent to this unnamed woman in a land few miles from Sidon where Jezebel lived? That is called amazing grace. Amazing grace of God. The unmerited favor of God. God has chosen this woman. God had a purpose in this woman. No wonder Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, we have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 1. If somebody has it, you could read it for me. Ephesians 1:4.
For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
Thank you, brother. In him we have been chosen before the foundation of the world. God gave the promise, but it was a responsibility to respond to the promise. When a missionary from New Zealand came and gave me the gospel, it was my response. It was my faith. I had to respond to the gospel. Grace is there. God loves the whole world. And God knows who will respond to him, who will receive him. There was something in this woman, and God sent Elijah to be there. If you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 16, many times we think, I have chosen God. God said in verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. Whatsoever shall ask of the Father in my name will give it to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is our God, brothers and sisters. A God has chosen you. Do you know that you are precious in his sight? He calls us, we are the apple of his eye. He's not only sent prophets, he sent his only son. That much, how much he loves. To choose this woman, he sent one of the best prophets, Elijah, to spend a few months to encourage her. Not only in that woman's heart, he was also doing work in the young little boy. We do not know, it's not here, but there'll be something in that house. He lived in that house upstairs for a few months, for a few days, or for a year. As we look at the story, five things God spoke to me. First thing is, God can change any situations. So when you look at this woman in a famine land, she was in a last meal. And it was a God who chose to change a situation by sending Elijah, by sending this miraculous way and giving a physical food. There are times in life where we thought it's not possible. It's never going to happen. But God can change situation in a miraculous way, right? If you look at Exodus, in times of where people cried in the land for 400 years, nobody was there to help. God sent Moses. If you look at David's life, there was a time, read in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, where all his families, all the 600 soldiers were following. His families were all taken captive by Amalekites. They had lost everyone. And what did they think? They wanted to stone David to death. Their own soldiers, their own friends wanted to stone David to death. A very challenging time. It says these words, David strengthened himself in the Lord. When we go through difficult times, when we go through situations like this, as we heard from Samuel, when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. As Job said, even though if I slay me, I will trust in the Lord. Trusting in his mercy, trusting in his grace, trusting in his hope. We should never remove our eyes because he remains the only hope. Any moment he can change the situations. Here we see this woman's life was changed with a simple faith. Simple childlike faith. Her life was transformed. God provides in famine. God provided this. There are many things happening in this world. The world is changing. We know there's pandemic. There are many people like this in this situation. You may think there's no help, but God is a help. I myself witnessed for my mom and dad just a few months ago. My father became very serious with COVID just around November and December time. And there's nobody to help. My sister couldn't go because she would get COVID. And he had to be admitted in the hospital. And he chose to go to a government hospital. And my mom was worried because there was no food. There was no proper food to care for him. But there was a man, who rides an auto rickshaw. And for some reason, God gave him the burden. He wore all the masks for nearly 6 days. He took the food every day to hospital. It was very risky, but he chose to do it. God provided. God provides in an amazing way, in an uncertain way. God is not a respecter of person. Thirdly, God is not a respecter of person. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 35. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 35, read. This is a time when Peter went to a man called Cornelius, who was not a Jew, who came to know the living Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter said in verse 34, he opened his mouth and said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto children of Israel, preaching peace, Jesus Christ, peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. God, our God, Jehovah God, God who made heaven and earth, our Lord Jesus is not a respecter of person. Whether you are a Jew, whether you are an Indian, whether you are Australian, whether you are white, whether you are black, brown, whatever tribe. When a soul responds to God's calling, when a soul believes and repents and chooses Christ, chooses the saving grace of God, the Bible says that soul can be saved. See, look at this unnamed widow far in a land nowhere close to Israel, in Lebanon. He met the need of the heart. God is not a respecter of person. Whether you're a president, whether you're a poor man, a poor widow, God can raise. We are all called the children of living God. Fourthly, God's help comes from an unexpected way. You may be thinking, I want to go this path. I want to take this path. Our ways are different. God's ways are different. Just look at Elijah's life. How did his help come from? Raven? A bird? How did his help come from? A poor widow? His help didn't come from, God didn't say, go to king's palace. I've told the king, you'll be looked after. A raven, an unclean bird. God's help comes, we have experienced it in many times. It comes in an unexpected way. So we need to be ready to expect, wait on the Lord. It can come in an unexpected way. Here we see in Hebrews chapter 11, briefly, a faith of this woman. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. If anyone has it, you could read it for me. Hebrews 11, verse 6.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Thank you, brother. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. Without faith, we cannot please God. And this great work happened in this woman's life, boy's life, by simple faith. By simple faith in my heart, God changed my life. God gave me a purpose. And brothers and sisters, as we're looking at this passage, there's one more thing Lord was ministering, which we all need to take to heart. As we come back to 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah chose. God gave him a word. God gave him a direction to go to this woman. If he had not obeyed God's word, we do not know what would have happened for this woman, right? God may have used someone else. As I'm looking at this passage, it reminded me, God has to bring judgment because of our own failures, right? It was similar times where people forgot God. God brought famine in the land. In this current situation, as you look, this pandemic. Every minute, even as I speak right now, there's one soul dying, one person dying without Jesus Christ. We have many friends. We have many families. The saddest part is when somebody dies whom I know without the Lord. I lost the opportunity. Elijah became an instrument in this woman's life. He was able to walk all the way, so many miles, from Israel to Lebanon to just meet one soul. It's not going to happen. You just call somebody today and say, it has to be Lord's leading, burden, wisdom. But when God gives an opportunity, we should never lose the opportunity. We should be like this Elijah, ready, waiting, season, any season. We should be ready to keep the good news, share about the good news, ways of God. In Romans 10, verse 14 and 15, we read, Romans 10, 14 and 15, we read that, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet. It's not the preachers to preach. God has called each one of you, brothers and sisters, go into the world, preach the gospel. That is our commandment. That is the purpose. One of the big purposes we are here, to be the light and salt of the earth. And it is as Paul had that vision. Let's have the vision too. Wise is the one who wins soul. So may we have that prayer in our hearts like Elijah did, to win a soul for the Lord. And as we come back to the promise God gave in 17:14, God gave a promise of a bread and an oil. When I look at this bread and oil, it also have a spiritual meaning, isn't it? Everyday bread, everyday oil. We pray this prayer in Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me will never hunger. He who receives me shall never thirst. The bread speaks about our God's word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word which has been given to us, his word, which we can draw every day. There's something to draw today. There's something to draw tomorrow. Every day we can draw all our lives. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. We need to learn, depend and learn and feed on the word every day. So important. It's a basic Christian life, basic walk of life, to spend time with the word. God has provided. As a woman fetched, we go and take it. The oil speaks about the Holy Spirit. Oil was taken to anoint the kings. Oil, we read in John's Gospel chapter 4. Returns to John's Gospel chapter 4. And he was speaking to the Samaritan woman. And it says in verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The vacuum we had, the Lord has filled, given us a joy and peace. The Holy Spirit is in Ephesians 1:13 says it is sealed in our hearts and within us until redemption. The Spirit of God, the person living in our hearts, we are called the temple of God. If you read Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that he may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Spirit is joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, what an opportunity for every child of God to take from the Word, to draw from Him. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He teaches us. So I finish with this verse as we come back to Isaiah chapter 12. Turn to me to Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. Brothers and sisters, let's with joy draw out of the wells of salvation. God Jehovah is our salvation. This woman, unnamed woman, God Jehovah became salvation. There's much more in this story. I would encourage you to read it, the full chapter, if possible. Just to finishing up, in 1 Kings chapter 17, later this woman, as we come back to chapter 17, I shall finish one verse. This woman, boy, becomes so sick that he dies. He dies, literally dies. And this woman goes to Elijah. In verse, it says, in verse 19 to 21, it says, verse 18, it says, have you brought my sin to remembrance? She goes and says, have you brought my sin to remembrance? It's a humbling thing to say, I am a sinner. And that's what God was working in this woman's heart. That God, she said, are you bringing my sin to remembrance, Elijah? And she called upon the name of the Lord. And you see, Elijah prayed three times upon this child. He took this child, he carried the child upstairs room, and he fell on this child, calling to God to save the son. It was not one time, it was persistent. He did not give up as if it's not God's will. He did not give up. He prayed second time. He prayed third time, and the soul of the son came back. And the verse 24 said, and the woman said to Elijah, now this I know, that thou art the man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. To knowing the truth, the living God, Jesus is the truth for us. The truth can set us free. This woman knew the truth. She came to know the living God. May the Lord bless this word. Most gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee. We give Thee honor and glory for being a God who chose us, who transformed us, who continued to work in our hearts, who is our great shepherd. Father, even as we look at this times, as we read this passage, there are many people suffering, who are needy, staking, Lord, have no hope. You are the God of all comfort. You are our God who is a living hope. And we thank you, Lord, for giving hope in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that knowing that, Lord, you're coming back for us again. Pray, Lord, that we may be like Elijah to obey you, hear the voice. Pray, Lord, we will be like the woman, like simple faith. We may trust you, trust in your mercy, trust in your grace, and give you honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.